Hello, everybody. Welcome to News for the Soul. This is Daniel Brinkley.
This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Okay, everybody, take a deep breath. We know that we choose to come to this world, and we're chosen to come to this world, and we've come for breath. We breathe in for ourselves and out for spiritual unfoldment. And as we breathe these moments, let's open up our heart and open up our souls, and let the true awareness of News for the Soul make its impact now and forever.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And I'm hoping we've got all that covered in full. This is going to be one of those ones you're going to want to revisit and tell your friends about, because today we're busting loose from the money game. We have, over the years, talked many, many times on the issue of abundance and being conscious and being spiritual and evolving into our true empowerment in ourselves. And we've been on this decade of journey of trying to make all of this, well, put all the pieces together and transcend our programming on this issue. Well, today we're taking it up to a whole new level. I suspect that's what our guest is going to be doing with us today. We have got, for the full hour, Robert Scheinfeld is here, author of Busting Loose from the Money Game, and I, for one, am ready to do just that. So let's welcome him on.
As are we all.
Yeah. Woo! Robert Scheinfeld, welcome to News for the Soul.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to share this stuff.
I am very excited about talking to you. Actually, Peter Sage, one of my recent guests on the show, who doesn't usually go around recommending books, was vehemently talking about this one, and that got my attention. So thus, here we are. We have connected, and I'm very glad that we have. I should let you know, too, you're kind of preaching to the choir in some levels today, so feel free to go full on.
I can do nothing else at this point in my life, so.
And thank goodness.
That's part of what busting loose means, is fully expressing yourself and everything that goes with that.
Well, you're in the right place at the right time, so let's do just that. Busting loose from the money game. Where does it start as far as where you started putting together the pieces for this book, this idea?
Well, I turned 50 this month. And the journey really started for me when I was 12. I grew up with an amazing grandfather. His name was Aaron Scheinfeld, and he was just an extraordinary man. And in layman's terms, you'd probably call him a Renaissance man. He just was so multi-talented. But one of his crowning achievements was he took a very simple idea and turned it into one of the world's largest corporations, a business called Manpower, the world's largest temporary help service that probably most your listeners have heard of. And, you know, created a vast fortune and an amazing lifestyle, was impacting people all over the world, and was just this amazing guy. And growing up in this family with this gigantic international success story, I became aware that there was something very mysterious behind this success. and nobody in the family seemed to know what it was. It was just this kind of mystery floating through the family. And being a very curious 12-year-old, when I found out about this and sensed these currents, I started bugging my grandfather. Now, I lived in Milwaukee. He lived in Chicago, and I didn't see him that much. But whenever I saw him or talked to him, it was, you know, what's this big mystery? What's this big secret? And he kept putting me off and putting me off. And then finally, on a family reunion, he sat me down for a cup of hot chocolate, and he said, you know, you've been bugging me, and I'm finally going to tell you this secret. And he started mentoring me in a radically different mindset and set of strategies that he credited with every single thing that he created that we would call success, from business to everything else, money and everything else. And the good news is he started teaching me this radical approach. The other good news, which at the time I looked at as bad news, is he passed away 7 months later before he could finish teaching me. So it amounted to a gigantic tease. And his last words to me were, as you grow up, you're going to be taught a lot about money. And it's all going to seem perfectly reasonable and true and accurate and such, except it's not. It's not true. It's not reasonable. It's not accurate. And the illusion of it being all of that is what causes people so much pain and struggle and hardship. And he said, there's a secret about money that very few people ever discover. And if you apply what I taught you and you follow the many clues that I left, you will discover that secret and you will look at it as a treasure more valuable than gold. Now, as a 12-year-old, I didn't totally get all of this, but, you know, I was very intrigued, and it was like this dangled this treasure hunt, this gigantic mystery in front of me that I actually was obsessed with for about 35 years until I finally assembled all the puzzle pieces and was able to bust loose. But long-winded answer to your question of where did it start, it started when I was 12. And along the road, there were all kinds of wild ups and downs. I kept repeating up, down, up, down, up, down, and every time I had a cycle of that with money and success, the numbers got bigger. And then when it started to get into the millions, up, down, up, down, up, down, I started to panic. And that's when I ultimately created finding the final puzzle pieces and busting loose. It's been an extraordinary journey.
I'll tell you, I was actually listening to the audio version of your 11th Element at the time that I heard Peter Sage going on about this. And I understand this busting loose from the money game is sort of the next puzzle piece up from the 11th Element. Would that be right?
Say that again?
That busting loose from the money game is the next puzzle piece, the next level up from your information in the 11th element.
Yeah. What happened is, as I gathered more and more puzzle pieces, and I compare my journey to the assembly of a jigsaw puzzle, you know, piece here, piece there. First the picture doesn't look like anything, and then it starts to look like something, and then it gets clearer and clearer. And I thought I had the whole picture when I released the 11th element, and I applied that with tremendous results, what I taught in that book. And then I started to hit a wall, and that's when I started to crash and burn again when we were talking about millions. And I thought to myself, wait a minute here. This shouldn't be happening. I thought I had all the puzzle pieces, and I had this whole thing figured out, and I tapped into the power, and I found the treasure, and my grandfather teased me with, and what the hell is this? And that's when I got, and by the way, this is not a formula, and everybody listening has done this lots of times in their life, and it didn't go anywhere, and so have I. But this particular time, I said, all right, that's enough. And I talked to my higher consciousness, if you will, that I now refer to as my expanded self. And I said, all right, enough of this. I have been on this search for 35 years. I've been doing the due diligence. I've been working my butt off. I've been following the clues. I've been doing the work. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not willing to go through this up, down, up, down, up, down anymore. I got a family now. I got a wife now. If I crashed and burned, it would hurt other people, not just me. I'm not willing to do this anymore. Whatever the hell the other pieces are, I want to know what they are. I want them, and I want to finish this picture, and I want this treasure, you know, that I've been looking for. I got really mad and was scared to death that I was going to crash and burn yet again and cause all this pain to my family, you know. And about 8 months later, the door opened to this breakthrough, which ultimately obsoleted everything in the 11th element and everything that I had done earlier, because it took me into a completely different direction. and expanded me into a completely different place where I don't do any of the stuff anymore that I talked about in those books that were so powerful for me for so many years. But ultimately, I was still missing stuff. I was missing pieces, and I had a lot of stuff wrong, so to speak, that I ultimately was able to open up to.
So this is a, you know, I mean, for the people that are watching The Secret right now and What the Bleep and visualizing and doing Law of Attraction stuff, is this the next, have you got a next step that's going to bring that all together for us?
Well, I have to answer this in a little bit of a long-winded explanation to be able to really answer the question.
Okay, go for it.
The what I call the busting loose process has four pieces to it. There's what I call the philosophy. There's the science that validates the philosophy for people who need that, of which I was one at the time. There's practical tools, and then there's navigation support for living life when you're using the tools and you're expanding and things are changing. To answer your question, I have to talk a little bit about the philosophy piece. To me, the truth of who we all really are, which will sound familiar to people who have studied the law of attraction, other things are, is that who we really are infinite beings who have more power, more wisdom, more abundance of everything, including money and joyfulness and happiness and peace than anybody listening can possibly imagine. And that's who we really are. And as infinite beings, you know, all of us here on the earth, so to speak, play all kinds of games to challenge ourselves and to entertain ourselves and to have fun. And infinite beings do the same thing. They have the desire to play. That's not just a human thing. It's not just a childhood thing. Play, actually, scientists are discovering now that play is actually one of the most empowering things that you can do. So anyway, infinite beings like to play too. And in the model, and by the way, I need to say, some of the stuff that I'm sharing here is part of a model that I share that enables people to get close enough to the truth with capital T's to have practical value. But it's only a model. My belief is that the real truth with a capital T is too big and complex for any of us to really be able to understand now. So this is all just a model that gives us some practical value. So in the model, a bunch of infinite beings decided that they wanted to play a game. And at the core of the game, all games have themes, and they have rules and regulations that flow out of that. You know, golf has its own theme, get the ball in the cup. Tennis has its own theme. Basketball, baseball, football all have their own theme of how the game works and what the goal is and everything else. Four quarters, two halves, whatever it is. The theme of the game that we are all playing is what I call the human game. The theme is, what would happen if you limit unlimited power? If could we as infinite beings actually convince ourselves that we are the opposite of who we really are? And what would it take to do that? And what would the experience be like if we did that? Because if you're an infinite godlike being with more power than you can imagine and you're going to play a game, you can't just play any game. It's got to be an ultimate game that really challenges you. And to see if you could convince yourself you're the opposite of who you really are is one hell of a challenge. So if who you really are is infinitely powerful and wise and abundant and joyful, then you've got to convince yourself that you're the opposite of that, which means poor, stupid, weak, vulnerable, and at the mercy of forces beyond your control. Which if you look at how most people feel and the rampant problems with what is called self-esteem around the world, you can see that we're all pretty damn good at convincing ourselves that we're the opposite of who we really are. So the human game is divided into two phases. In phase one, we create this artificial reality that we call the physical universe. And you mentioned What the Bleep, where they talked about things that the quantum physicists are discovering about everything that we think is solid isn't, and all this stuff we think is real is really a gigantic illusion created by consciousness. And I agree with all of that. If you're going to play a game and you're going to convince yourself you're the opposite of who you really are, you've got to create a playing field You've got to create an illusory world and then pop yourself into it and then convince yourself when you're in it, you're the opposite of who you really are, which is what we all did brilliantly in phase one of the human game. We created this illusory world. We convinced ourselves it was real and that we were the opposite of who we really are within it. There's also a phase two to the human game, which is the reverse of that process, which is remembering who you really are, having a direct experience of that, reclaiming all the power, all the wisdom, all the abundance, including an infinite supply of money, and joyfulness and happiness and peace and all of it, reclaiming all of that, being able to live from all of that while still staying here in this illusion, but being able to play with it with no limits or restrictions of any kind. And that's what my work is about, is taking people into phase two and supporting them and moving through phase two to that ultimate point of being able to play without limits and restrictions. Now, going back to your original question, having dumped out this philosophy quickly, and I could spend, you know, 2 weeks on what I just did in about 8 minutes or whatever it is. The law of attraction and all these other things that are common in spirituality and metaphysics and New Age stuff and personal growth and self-help, if you are still playing in the phase one part of the human game, where it is all about limitation, restriction, convincing you you're the opposite of who you really are, and that the illusion is real, and that the truth of who you really are is long gone, if you are still playing in phase one of the human game, none of those techniques are going to work reliably, none of them are going to work consistently, and none of them are ultimately going to take you where it is that you really want to go, because they can't. If you're playing in phase one of the human game, the goal is for you to be convinced that the illusion is real deep down and that you're the opposite of who you really are. So even if you stumble across intellectual ideas like that, that say you're powerful and you can just focus on stuff and create it, or you can visualize or use affirmations or whatever and create all this stuff, even if you stumble into that stuff and even if you apply the techniques, it ultimately will not work consistently, and it won't take you into the infinite abundance, the infinite wisdom, the joyfulness, the power, all of the stuff of who you really are, because by design, you're not supposed to go there in phase one. And this is one of the points that I missed and that most people that are teaching in phase one miss by design, not because they're stupid or unethical or out of integrity. By design, it's about limitation and restriction in phase one. And if you observe what really happens with the law of attraction and all these other self-help techniques that are supposed to be so powerful, what the truth is, they work for some people but not other people. They work sometimes but not other times for the same people. And none of them are the magic bullets that are promised. And the reason is because in phase one of the human game, they're not meant to work. You're meant to still deep down be convinced that you're powerless and you're the opposite of who you really are, and if all these techniques worked, you'd be back into abundance and who you really are, and the game would be over, and that's not what the game is about.
So what is the game really about?
Well, it's just like, you know, football has two halves, and in football, the two halves are the same, but in the human game, there's these two phases, and in the first phase, again, it's about convincing you you're the opposite of who you really are, and that the illusion that you're in the middle of is real and has power over you. And we all convince ourselves, all the stuff in self-help that's called conditioning or programming or the things that are talked about in psychology that damage self-esteem and wound people and all this stuff, that's all part of the brainwashing of convincing ourselves that the illusion is real. And it starts the moment we're born. It's no accident that we're born as infants that are powerless. And I'm using heavy-handed language here. I mean no disrespect to babies, believe me. But if you look at an infant, they're stupid, they're poor, they're powerless, they're vulnerable, and they're completely at the mercy of forces beyond their control. And then as they grow up, you know, we learn and we all these other things, and the brainwashing that convinces us we're the opposite of who we really are clicks in, and by the time we hit a certain age, we're absolutely convinced that the illusion is real, and we're the opposite of who we really are. So that's phase one, and then we live there for a while. And if you spend a lot of time in self-help or personal growth or spiritual or metaphysical pursuits what I'm about to describe gets accelerated because you end up keeping hitting your head against a wall, wanting to produce these results that you don't produce, no matter how magical the technique seems consistently, till you get to the point where a voice inside of you starts to say, in some kind of volume and with some kind of intensity, wait a minute here. This just doesn't make sense. There's got to be something else going on here that I don't know about. There's got to be some other force that's driving what's happening to me because this just doesn't add up. And I want to know what's going on. And when you hit that kind of a place, and sometimes it's out of desperation like I hit and like other people hit, and sometimes it's quieter, but there's still just this rumbling voice, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. It's like if you saw the movie The Matrix, there's an early scene in it where Morpheus is talking to Neo, and he says part of why you're here is because there's been something bugging you, you know, like a splinter in your brain, that there's just something wrong with the world. You hit a point like that, and that opens the door to phase two. And then in phase two of the human game, which again is what the Busting Loose work and my passion and my life are all about, the whole game reverses itself, and now it becomes about expanding, reclaiming your power, reclaiming your wisdom, reclaiming the infinite abundance that's your natural state, including access to an infinite supply of money, which is what the Busting Loose from the Money Game work is about, and getting to this place where you can still stay here in what I call the Earth Amusement Park or the Physical Universe Amusement Park, but be able to create any illusion, play with anything you want just for the pure joy of playing with it in a completely different space, experiencing ever-expanding levels of joyfulness, where money is completely irrelevant and whatever you want to do in order to just purely have fun playing in this amusement park, you do and you create whatever amount of money you need and all the kind of stuff that's talked about in self-help and personal growth and metaphysics and spirituality and the law of attraction really becomes true, but isn't true from a phase one perspective, becomes true, and then it goes into places that go way beyond what even the most optimistic, wild self-help or whatever thing talks about in terms of what's really possible when you play with this kind of power. And there's an expansion process that takes place over time where you step back into the infiniteness and the power of who you really are and you're able to collapse all the limiting patterns and beliefs and everything that you convinced yourself were real as part of phase one, and you're able to step more and more into full expression of who you really are here in this illusion that we call the physical universe. And it's an extraordinary journey and an extraordinary experience and it's a journey that I've been on now for about 3 years.
So, like you say, we sort of intellectualize the true nature of who and what we are. But there's a big difference of really getting that, which is, that I'm assuming, at the beginning of being able to do phase two.
Yeah. The metaphor that I share with people that really helps to get this process and this point clear is I use the metaphor of sun and clouds. I compare who we really are, this infinite being with all this power and wisdom and abundance and joyfulness. Can't feel anything other than joyfulness as an infinite being. All these things we call negative emotions are completely made up, don't exist. And I compare that truth of who we really are to the sun. You know, everybody looks at the sun and thinks massive power, you know? So it's a great comparison for who we really are. So when we decide to play this human game and we create this illusory playing field that we call the physical universe and convince ourselves it's real, it's the equivalent of creating a solid, dense cloud cover that blocks out all the light and all the heat of the sun of who we are. And on the other side of that solid, dense cloud cover, you know, if you wrapped your knuckles on it, it would hurt because it's hard, it's solid, it's dense. It's cold and dark, to use this metaphor, which is the equivalent of being convinced that you're the opposite of who you really are within this illusion. And as you start to play the phase two game, if somebody just comes up to you and says, hey, there's a sun on the other side of that solid, dense cloud cover, and in that sun, there's all this power, and you can do amazing things, and you're this amazing being, all you got to go is just go tap into that sunlight and that heat, and you can do all this cool stuff. Well, the solid, dense cloud cover is still sitting there, even though you've been told that there's this sun on the other side of it. So what you have to do is chip holes, metaphorically, in that solid, dense cloud cover and keep chipping away, chipping away, chipping away until you poke a hole in it. And when you poke a hole in it, some of the light and some of the heat starts to shine through that hole because it has to. The sun is sitting there. There's this block, but when you knock out part of the block, the sun that's behind there and always has been and is now has to shine through. And then you widen that hole and you make another hole and you widen that hole and then you start knocking out huge chunks of the solid, dense cloud cover. And then huge amounts of the sun light and heat start shining through, and that's when everything transforms radically in the way I've been talking about. And there's a set of tools that we don't have time to go into detail on in this interview, but that are at the core of the Busting Loose work that help you to poke holes in that solid cloud cover and let the heat and the light of who you really are in this metaphor shine in and give you access to the infiniteness of who you really are again. The challenge with so many of the phase one personal growth and self-help techniques, and I did the same thing when I was teaching them, is they don't actually poke any holes in the solid cloud cover. There's like a little bit of light or whatever or heat that's somehow gotten into the darkness and the cold on the other side of this thing, and on the other side of the cloud cover, you're being told all this stuff, and you got a little bit of power that you can play with, but the sun is still blocked. And until you knock holes in the cloud cover and you let the sun of who you really are shine in, you just don't get access to the real power by design. Now, by the way, I have to make one quick comment here.
Okay.
There is no hierarchy here. There is no judgment here. Phase two is not better than phase one. Phase two teachers are not more enlightened or advanced than teachers of phase one. There's nothing wrong or bad about phase one or wonderful or good about phase two. They're just different games, just like golf and tennis are just different games. They're equally magnificent. You need a different coach. You need different tools. You work with different things to play them, but they're equally magnificent, and there's no hierarchy here. And I have absolutely no judgment of anyone or anything in phase one. I'm just playing a different game now, and I'm supporting other people who want to play the second part of the human game. But again, it's not better. It's not sexier. There's no judgment or hierarchy here. They're just different parts of the game that require different support in order to play.
Fair enough. And as I mentioned, I think you're talking to serious players right now. And a lot of people listening anyway, that would definitely apply to. And, you know, I understand what you're saying about sort of just not being able to break through into direct experience as opposed to intellectualizing all the stuff like we get it in our mind. But there's quite a, you know, it's like reading about how to have a baby or drive a car as opposed to do them. Quite a different scene. So why don't you walk us through what the money game is and why it's unwinnable?
Well, there's two reasons that it's unwinnable. There's kind of like a more limited perspective and there's a more expanded perspective. From the limited perspective, you can't win the money game if you play according to the rules and regulations you were taught growing up. And the money game is the label that I use to describe everything that's related to making money, managing money, growing money, planning for retirement, asset protection, investments, everything that's related to accumulating, managing, growing, or protecting money. All of that I lop together and I call it the money game. And the money game is one of the most brilliant creations that was supportive of convincing ourselves that we're the opposite of who we really are in phase one. Because at the core of it is, you've got a limited supply of money available to you, which is the opposite of the truth, which is, as I said, what phase one's all about, convincing you you're the opposite of who you really are. So at the core of the money game is you've got a limited supply available to you. And every time you quote-unquote spend any, now you have less. Your limited supply just shrunk. And so you've got to somehow go out there and bring more money in here so that you don't run out and go into debt. But it's not just that you have a limited supply, and it's not just that it shrinks every time you spend and you have to replenish it or you'll run out. It's also that your supply of money is fragile. It can be stolen. You can lose it in bad investments. You can lose it from a bank failure. You can lose it from embezzlement. You can lose it from a divorce settlement. You can lose it from all kinds of things. And for all of these reasons, you just can't win the game, because as long as you're convinced that your supply is limited and that it's fragile and that you have to do all these things to try and build up the money supply and everything, when the whole thing is based on a lie, you can't win it anyway. Because no matter how much you pile up, no matter how good you get at playing the game, your money is always at risk. You can always lose it. And even if you're able to pile up a ton to the point where even if you lost a bunch, it wouldn't matter, you've got such a huge surplus, then you had to pay such a high price to pile it up and manage it and accumulate it that you've made some other sacrifice somewhere else. Relationships, health, stress, whatever. So no matter how good you get at playing the game, you ultimately lose from a limited perspective. You just can't win the game. And I could go on for hours about that. The expanded perspective is who you really are has an unlimited supply of money available to you at any moment. You want to create $50 million to buy a mansion on South Beach in Miami or in Hawaii or something, you snap your finger, you have the $50 million or you have the house or whatever it is. That's the kind of creative power we have. So anytime you reduce infinite to numbers, you reduce infinite to a limited supply, no matter how big that appears to get, you're still limiting infinite, and infinite is who you really are. The whole game was designed to reinforce limitation and convince you you're the opposite of who you really are. So as long as you play the game, you are ultimately going to support limitation and restriction, no matter how much you pile up, or what the story is. Now, again, I had to go through that pretty quickly because I could talk for 10 days just on that. But there's a lot of people that look at a guy like Bill Gates or look at some of the other people that are some of the richest people, Donald Trump, in the world, and they think, wow, they've clearly won the game. They've piled up so much. They got mansions and private jets and can go eat anywhere and buy anything and do anything they want. Well, that's true from a money perspective. But there's a huge price that they're paying, and they're still very limited and very restricted in other ways, and deep down they're still absolutely convinced that the illusion is real and that they are the opposite of who they really are, deep down, even though within the illusion they've piled up a ton of money. And the possibility that exists for everybody listening and that I have actually experienced practically, and I'm supporting people all over the world and experiencing practically, is busting loose from all those limits, all those restrictions, and opening back up into a tangible experience of the infiniteness of who you really are and being able to play this game without any limits or restrictions of any kind, no cost, no prices to pay, total joyfulness and fun where everything becomes about you following your joyfulness and creating illusions and scenarios in which to play that are just fun for you for the pure pleasure of having fun. The pure joy of having fun, which is what games are ultimately all about.
So what examples of real-world results have people had in this busting loose from the money game system?
Well, I'd have to say that in phase two, there are two segments. The first segment is what I call the expansion phase. And that's when you're collapsing the illusion, if you will. You're reclaiming all of your power from all these illusions that you created and convinced yourself were real that limited and restricted you. And it's all about reclaiming the power that you had to hide in phase one in order to convince yourself you're the opposite of who you really are. Appreciating what an amazing job you did creating all those illusions and convincing yourself they're real. Appreciating how amazing all those illusions were, and looking at the illusion and telling the truth about it, looking at the illusion and telling the truth about it. Because in phase one, from childhood on up, you looked at the illusion and lied to yourself about it, convince yourself you're the opposite of who you really are over time, and in phase two you have to reverse that process in the way the game is played. So in the expansion phase, where you're using the tools to chip holes in the solid, dense cloud cover, it's not about producing results. When you're in that mode, it's not about increasing your income. It's not about doubling your business. It's not about healing a health problem or improving your relationship. It's just about creating opportunities to use the tools, chip away at the cloud cover, poke holes, and let the sun shine in. And you don't have agendas. You don't try to produce specific results. You don't try to proactively create or do anything. It's following the lead of your higher consciousness, which, again, I call your expanded self in this work, to support you in expanding. And ultimately, you completely let go of agendas and wanting to change, fix, or improve anything. You live in what I call reactive mode. You use the tools. You poke the holes in the dense cloud cover. You expand, and you get more and more access to who you really are. Once you've done that cumulatively over time, and how much time it takes varies because we're infinite beings, we design this game to be played the way we want to, so you could do it in 3 months or 6 months or 10 years, it's up to you. It took me personally 3 years to create the gigantic breakthroughs that I am now living with in terms of huge amounts of the sun shining in and me being able to play literally now without any limits or restrictions anymore. In the way that I just described, took me 3 years. That's not a rule or a formula. That's just what I created. Once you get to that point, you still really are not focused on outcomes and agendas and results the way that you were in phase one, because that's completely made up phase one, restricted, limited stuff. When you get to the point of expanding where you can play without limits and restrictions, it really is just what would be fun for me today. Not what outcome do I want, and then I got to back figure a strategy, and then I got to apply the strategy over time to produce the result and change my approach if I don't seem to. All this stuff that's part of phase one goes out the window. Everything in phase two is the opposite of the way it was in phase one. And in phase two, it's all about joyfulness, and you do stuff just for the pure fun of it. You don't do anything so that you can have X as a result. What you're doing and the joyfulness that comes from it is the whole reason that you're doing it. And you can still play the business game. I mean, I still play the business game, but I do it in a completely different way. I only do what's fun for me. I don't pay any attention to the numbers or to the money or to the results or to the return on investment or to profitability. I don't do any of that anymore. I simply follow what I feel motivated to do, what I'm inspired to do, what's fun for me. And the money and everything else just takes care of it. It takes care of itself out of the infiniteness of who I am. And it's just about joyfulness and fun and expansion and continuing to find new ways to play the human game that are more and more fun. But it's not an agenda-driven thing. It's an extraordinarily and radically different place to live. But the pleasure that comes from it and the fun that comes from it is just off the charts. But it's nothing like the way we live in phase one with all the agendas and action plans and push, push, push and got to make stuff happen. And that isn't the way an infinite being lives. And it isn't the way you live when you expand to a certain point in phase two, which is where I am right now.
So, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. And it's interesting, you know, since I personally embarked on the consciousness journey myself, I've always said that everything, once you have a direct experience with, you know, something, it seems to be the opposite of what we thought it was supposed to be. And so how long have you lived in phase two then? How long has it been?
I haven't actually computed it exactly, but it's somewhere around 3 years. I leaped into phase two 3 years ago using the metaphor. That's when I started chipping away at the solid cloud cover. And at various points along the journey, I knocked out huge chunks and had huge expansions and genuine transformations in my hologram, in the illusion, so to speak, and then was taken back. You know, it's like my expanded self said, okay, we just knocked a big hole in the cloud cover there. Come on over here, and let's start chipping here. And I started working at some other illusions that I created and convinced myself were real that limited and restricted me, and I chipped and chipped and chipped and chipped until ultimately I just knocked out such a huge amount of this cloud cover that so much of the sun of who I really am started to shine in that everything just radically transformed. I've got people who I have introduced to this busting loose work who have been playing the game for, you know, 14 months, 16 months, 18 months, 24 months, who have created some extraordinary things, and a few that have busted loose themselves. Because here's the interesting thing. In phase one, fast is always better. Everybody wants everything yesterday. We're extraordinarily impatient. But the reality is that because we are infinite beings, we could play the phase one game, build up the solid, dense cloud cover, have somebody tell us, hey, wait a minute, guys, the sun of who you really are is on the other side of this cloud cover, and if you can just dissolve that cloud cover, you can have access to all this amazing power and abundance and wisdom and joyfulness and money and everything else, unlimited supply of money. We all have the power to snap our fingers and instantly dissolve the entire cloud cover and have instant access to who we really are again. But that's not the way the game was designed to be played. And I'll give you two metaphors to illustrate that point. The first is, if you are a mountain climber and you love mountain climbing, and you decide that you want to climb the ultimate, which I'm just going to use an example of. There may be another ultimate today. But the ultimate's Mount Everest. You don't want to stand at the bottom of Mount Everest and snap your fingers and be at the top. There's no fun in that. You want to climb from the bottom to the top, and you want to go through everything you have to go through, some of which is excruciating from what I'm told, to get to the top. It's the climbing that you want to do, not be at the top. Another metaphor would be the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is scheduled. The two teams are there. The coaches are there. The staff is there. The refs are there. The stands are full. Millions of people are watching all over the world. Nobody wants the ref to snap his fingers and say, okay, New England just won 28-10. You can all go home now. Everybody wants to play the game. Ups and downs, win, lose, people get injured, whatever, you know, drop passes, interceptions, they want to play the game. So the phase two of the human game was designed to unfold over time to allow you to totally savor the expansion process like you would savor a fine meal or a fine wine or a fine champagne or a fine play or a fine movie or a fine novel. You don't want to speed read a fine novel because it wouldn't be enjoyable. You don't want to take up, you know, an $700 bottle of champagne and guzzle it all in 3 seconds. You want to sip it. So we decide how long the expansion process takes. But in general, from my experience, it's a multi-year journey to full expansion because you want to be able to fully enjoy the expansion process. It doesn't happen overnight. And there are twists and turns, and it's tough at times, and you feel like giving up. And sometimes you feel in the beginning like I've been chipping and chipping and chipping and chipping at this cloud cover, and nothing's happening. And it is, but you don't think it is. And then you enjoy the victory, so to speak, so much more after you've gone through this expansion thing over time. So the people that I have created as phase two players, so to speak, are all over the map depending on how long they've been playing the game and how much of the cloud cover they've chipped away at and how long they have chosen to have their expansion last. But the stories are just extraordinary. And your expanded self knows that you need to get what I call cookies along the way, which means proof and samples of the truth of this model and how powerful you really are and what's really possible. So people create extraordinary experiences to show themselves how powerful they are and that all the stuff I've been sharing with you as philosophy is really true all along the way. It just gets consistent and then goes off the charts after you've knocked out enough of the cloud cover. But so it's been 3 years for me. Some of the players that I have that have busted loose have done it, you know, in as little as 2 years. Not to the same place I am, but from the money game, people have done it in 18 months to 2 years. You could do it 6 months. Again, it's up to you. But it's designed to unfold over time to maximize your pleasure. And what I tell people is the longer it takes you to bust loose, ultimately, the more joy you will have from the experience. It's kind of like the whole hard-won victory, you know. If stuff comes too easy, it's just not as enjoyable as if you had to really work for it and weren't sure you were going to get it, and then all of a sudden you get it, you know. It's not a perfect metaphor, but it's reasonably accurate for this process. And by the way, I mentioned The Matrix earlier. If you've watched The Matrix before or you haven't, you might want to rent it and watch it again, because there's a lot of nonsense in the movie about war with the machines and humans being used as batteries and all this kind of dark nonsense. But if you edit all that out and you just look at the journey of the main character named Neo and Morpheus, who's kind of his mentor in a way, it's very similar to this phase two journey that I'm describing. And it's a brilliant illustration of this. Neo is kind of like all of you who are learning about this for the first time, and I'm kind of Morpheus who's saying, wait a minute here. You think that something's real that isn't, and I'm going to help you wake up to the truth and to having access to more power than you ever imagined possible. And The Matrix is a really supportive movie to watch for the first time or again from the perspective of what I've been sharing with you again, paying attention to Neo's journey and deleting out all the other stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely a documentary on human consciousness evolution. It's been referred to many times.
And again, same thing. Morpheus told him a lot of stuff, but him simply knowing it intellectually wasn't enough. Using my metaphor, he had to poke holes in his own cloud cover over time until he actually opened up into the sun of who he was and then had access to that power. Intellectually understanding it and applying techniques a few times and getting a few results here and there in between the techniques failing most of the time just doesn't get you there. You've got to have different tools that actually can poke holes in the cloud cover, and when you have those, extraordinary things become possible.
Yeah, it absolutely makes sense. It wouldn't be much of a win if you just kind of snap your fingers and poof, there I am. Well, that was fun.
And getting back to money, you know, everything that we think is real and solid in the physical universe is not. And the philosophers have been talking about this for thousands of years. I mean, there was a term that's thousands of years old called Maya that was an Eastern religion kind of a thing that talked about all this being an illusion, and it's all over the place in philosophies throughout history. The difference is they never gave you a practical path out of it. You know, it was kind of like, well, that's nice, but what am I supposed to do about it? Now there is a practical path out. But if you just look at the fact that everything that we think is real and solid in the physical universe is really an illusion, that means everything. That means dollar bills aren't real. That means credit cards aren't real. That means banks aren't real. That means debt isn't real. It means your checking account and the actual checks that you write aren't real. It means none of it's real. And all of it was created, and you convinced yourself it was real, and that you were limited, and when you spent, you had less, and all this stuff. It's all a gigantic brainwash and lie that we pulled on ourselves. And as you open up into the fact that you're creating all of this, that it's all an illusion, and that you have the ability, and I talk about the mechanics of all of this in the book, and I give all the tools in the book and all the navigation support, all of it's in the book. And you realize that all of it's created out of consciousness in your consciousness, and that when you knock out enough of the solid cloud cover, you have the ability to manufacture any amount of money that appears to flow into your life through any channel that you can possibly imagine, and the only choice in the way you would choose the channels would be what's fun for you. And that means you could find a briefcase on the street that has $10 million in it. You could look at your bank balance on a Wednesday afternoon and it appears to have $10,000 in it. You look at your bank balance on Thursday morning and it appears to have $110,000 in it. And there's no traceable source to where the extra $100,000 came from. But it's not a bank error. You just created it and you have access to that $100,000 because none of the numbers are real. The bank balances aren't real. And when you expand to the point that you get what's really going on and you have access to this power, you can create any amount of money, again, appearing to show up in your life in any way to support you in doing what would really bring you joyfulness.
So you're not talking about traditionally having it show up. You mean literally just poof, there it is.
If that's what you want. Now, I don't choose to do that because I've done that a few times to show myself how powerful I am. But there are certain channels that it's fun for me to create the illusion of money appearing to flow from. But I don't pay attention to the numbers anymore. I don't look at my bank balance before I write checks or use a credit card or whatever. I have absolute certainty in the fact that I have opened up to this infinite abundance and that my consciousness will take care of the money, that I call it express appreciation, and there's an explanation for that in the book for what that really means instead of spending money. But I just express appreciation in the form of money for whatever it is that would really bring me joyfulness, and the money takes care of itself however it takes care of itself. I don't even look at the numbers anymore. When you have absolute certainty of what's really going on, you don't need to. You still can, but you don't need to. It all becomes about fun, and here's a really interesting thing. Most people are so filled with limitation and restriction and frustration as it relates to money that they think to themselves, man, if I got a checking account tomorrow that had an unlimited supply of money in it and it would automatically replenish itself every time I spent, man, I would buy Rolls Royces and I would buy mansions and I'd get a private jet and I'd travel around the world and I'd go spend $100,000 on clothes in New York City and they'd go on this wild shopping spree. And some people would do that and some people wouldn't. But even if you did that, after a while, it would be boring. So either right off or somewhere down the line or all the way down the line, it ultimately becomes you wake up and you say, okay, enough of all of that. What's really fun for me? What would really be fun for me to do in this gigantic amusement park with all these options, no limits, no restrictions, can fund it with whatever amount of money I need to fund any game I want to play here? What would really be fun for me? What games, how would I want to play them? What would I want to do? That's what the whole game becomes about. And then it becomes, how can I have even more fun? How can I have even more fun? How can I have even more fun, which is where I am right now. And it's just extraordinary. And until you've expanded to the point of having a direct experience of this, you can't really identify with what it would be like to be able to play with that kind of power, that kind of freedom, that kind of fun, and without the kinds of restrictions and limitations that we're all so used to. It's something you have to experience. You can kind of skim along it in your imagination and say, well, that sounds cool, but it's so beyond what we've ever allowed ourselves to conceive of in phase one that you just have to knock out enough of the cloud cover and have an actual experience of it to get how amazing it is and how amazing all of us really are in terms of the infinite beings that we really are. And all of this is real, and it's practical, and it's doable, and there's a path, and there's four specific tools, and you just apply those four tools, and the journey's difficult, but the tools are easy to use, and it's very obvious when you use each one, and the cumulative effect of using these tools day after day after day and chipping, chipping, chipping at the cloud cover just naturally opens you up into these extraordinary things that are beyond your wildest imagination.
And what about those who are being spiritual and think that this goes against being spiritual?
That's an example of a belief that was created in phase one that was designed to support you in keeping yourself away from the truth with capital T's and keep you away from your power and your wisdom and your abundance. And so they create belief systems that block you from access to that. And so belief systems like that that keep you away from it, that's what they were designed to do. And if you look at phase one, there's all kinds of stuff like that. Again, the money game is one of the most brilliant creations of that. So are a lot of religions. So are a lot of other systems of thought about all kinds of things. The body is another one. Convincing ourselves the body was real and that it's so vulnerable to disease and viruses and cancers and heart disease and fatigue and poison and cold germs. I mean, if you look at how we convinced ourselves that the body was real and how vulnerable it is to forces outside, it was another boat anchor convincing ourselves that the illusion is real. And again, this is where this phase one, phase two, and the truth of us is so powerful, because you can see how these things were so brilliantly designed to support us in convincing ourselves that the illusion is real and that in the middle of it we're the opposite of who we really are. And that's where those kinds of comments come from.
All right. Well, we are at the top of the hour. We've been talking to Robert Scheinfeld, author of Busting Loose from the Money Game. BustingLooseFromTheMoneyGame.com is the website. We've got it linked up on our website by the interview, which will be playing forevermore, newsforthesoul.com, and highly recommend that you listen to it again and again. And tell your friends and go get that book. I'm going to be pouring through these pages. I've been enjoying it so far, and I thank you so much for being here, Robert, and doing what you do and bringing it out to the world.
My pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity again.
Absolutely. Well, please keep in touch. I always want to know what people are up to on the cutting edge of the journey here. So I've got you on my short list now. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. And by the way, if you do get the book, just like you said, you're going to want to read it multiple times, because there's many, many layers there, and you'll get more and more and more out of it if you resonate with this when you have that resource available to you.
Absolutely. BustingLooseFromTheMoneyGame.com. Well, all games, really, eventually, isn't it?
Yes, that's absolutely true.
Well, thanks, Robert, for being here, and thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll be back on Thursday with James Ray. See you then.
This has been News for the Soul with Nicole Whitney. Visit us anytime online at www.newsforthesoul.com, where you can listen to all our previously aired shows at any time and so much more. Have a great week, and remember, what you focus on expands.